Our scripture this morning is actually a psalm. It's not frequent that I preach from the Psalms, but this one is just so beautiful. So please join me in finding Psalm 104. It is found on page 429 of the Pew Bibles. Psalm 104, and because it is quite lengthy, I'm not going to read the entire thing, but would offer that to you to do as you are able. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord, my God, you are very great. Beginning in verse 14, you cause the grass to grow for the cattle, and plants for people to use, to bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the human heart, oil to make the face shine, and bread to strengthen the human heart. The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. In them the birds build their nests. The stork has its home in its fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats. The rocks are refuge for the conies. You have made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness, and it is night, when all the animals of the forest come creeping out. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun rises, they withdraw and lie down in their dens. People go out to work and to their labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the sea, great and wide. Creeping things, innumerable, are there. Living things, both small and great. There go the ships, and the Leviathan that you formed to sport in it. All these things, all look to you to give them the food in due season. When you give to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the spirit of the Lord rejoice in his works, who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. May God's blessings be upon this reading this morning. Last Sunday, Easter Sunday, when worship was only a memory and when we were all still full from dinner and my son Elijah was packing up his things and getting ready to head back to Cincinnati, he said, "Nana's gifts of cash are just so nice." His siblings all agreed, "Yes, yes, it is so nice." Each of the kids got from my mom a candy bar and a $20 bill. But an unexpected $20 bill for a college student is huge. They were all three enjoying the feeling of being on the receiving end of Nana's generosity. And as they talked with each other about that, I was taken back to when I was in college and my grandmother was also very generous with me. I especially looked forward to birthdays because in each of her birthday cards, she gave $10 per each year you had lived. And so for a college student, that started getting really up there and was a whole lot of money. Today is the first Sunday that we're doing a series on stewardship. But this morning, as you see in the sermon title, we're focusing on our generosity autobiography. Because each of us have our own unique story of how we have experienced generosity in our lives. We have both been on the receiving end, like Nana's cash, and we have also witnessed others being so generous. People that we know, or even stories that we have heard. Whether we have ever spent time really thinking about this or not, though, is questionable. It's not something we often really discuss. And so I ask you to consider the following questions as you create your own generosity autobiography. And you can even write things down as they come to you or discuss them maybe over lunch today. Do people call you generous? What are your earliest memories of generosity? Who in your life stands out as a model of generosity? I've been thinking about these questions this week, and my first thought involved cash money and my grandmother. Besides her awesome birthday cash gifts, she also gave me money towards the down payment of my first house. And she was always generous to charities and especially the church and to other family members, especially those who she knew were in great need at that time. But anybody who was looking at my grandmother, especially those who didn't know her, would think she really didn't have any money to spare. My grandmother's house was very simple, very sparsely decorated, and all the furniture that she had was secondhand, and it looked it. She dressed like that too, but the thing about my grandmother was that stuff never mattered to her. She didn't give any thought to jewelry or purses or decorating her house or dishes. It was all just as it was needed for its use and purposes. My grandfather once told me that that was what attracted him to her, that she was just so practical and no nonsense. Now, I have to say that when he told that to me, I thought in the back of my mind, but I know that the first time you saw my grandmother, she was in a bathing suit at the swimming pool. So I'm putting all of that in context as he's telling me about how practical and no nonsense she is. But I understood what he meant. My grandmother was very unattached to stuff. She did not think twice about giving because it just didn't matter. It was like bubbles in a bag that you try to catch for her. She was an incredible model for me. But when I think of my earliest memories of generosity, money isn't what I think of, because for young children, money is nothing. It means nothing. So what I think of when I think of my first memory of generosity, I think of my godfather. And he was a mechanic, and he somehow, though, always knew when I would be at his house when he got home from work. And every single time that he would come home and I was there, he would have a surprise for me in one of his pockets. Now, it might be an orange soda. It might be some sweet treat. All of it was stuff I wasn't allowed to have at home. But the important thing was that I became a clear of his generosity of love through those acts, because I came to know that he thought of me even when he wasn't with me. And so in that way, he was showing me God's love, because that is so important for us to grasp. How can someone who isn't with me be thinking of me and loving me? Psalm 104 creates for us a picture of God's generosity. God's generosity for all of creation and for all creatures. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things, the scripture says. God's generosity really should, through this image, move us to just such gratitude when we think and contemplate the scope and diversity of God's work. The moon and the sun to mark season and days. Even in this scripture, darkness is a gift. It's clear through the words of this psalm that God takes delight in all that God has created, rejoicing at the plethora of life. God reveals intense pleasure in this biodiversity that God has created, and interest and involvement with the created order that includes us. But in this psalm is in no way focused only on us. Light is God's garment at the beginning of the psalm. Heaven is God's tent with the upper chambers on their waters. The clouds are God's chariots. Wind are God's messengers. Fire and flame, God's servants. There's even an element of playfulness there in the creation of the whale-like creature, the mighty Leviathan, which seems to have been made, according to this psalm, as a plaything, a delight and a joy for God. So much abundance that every little thing doesn't have to have a specific purpose out of just sheer delight and pleasure for God and therefore for us as well. I think that's why those puppy videos and kitten videos are so popular. I think that's why my daughter fell in love with a hippo named Fiona and followed her. I think that is why we will look at those little images of a baby panda and just go, oh, that is so precious. It isn't so that we have some utility for that animal or for that instance, but that the purpose is just pure delight and joy. My oldest son, Benjamin, some of you may know, worked for a year on a farm, and his main job on that farm was to care for the goats. And he happened to work during the spring when it was a lot of baby goats. And he came home each day and showed new pictures and videos of the things that these goats did and invited me to come one day to meet his goats, his goat friends. And I watched in amazement as there were tons of them, as he would point out the different ones and tell me their names and tell me their personalities. And it was just so funny to watch that the goats were as excited to see him as they were, as he was to see them. And he confided in me that day that he would do this job for free because it was so much fun, but not to tell anyone. Because Ben was experiencing God's generosity through goats, if you could imagine, because there was so much abundance and mystery and beauty and amusement that he found in just the celebration of life and the goodness of creation. But God's generosity can be found anywhere, everywhere. If we look all around, we see God's fingerprints on all of it. And Genesis confirms God saw everything God had made, and indeed it was very good. God has fashioned a world that is both to God's glory and also, though, at the same time, an endless store of sustenance for all God's creatures. When we can picture God's open hand, full of good food, full of good things for us and all God's people, somewhere in our many memory, our body's memory, we can remember how God had that kind of provision. They called it manna for the people who were journeying in the wilderness towards the promised land. Because the stories of God's people are part of our stories as well, part of our generosity autobiography. From God's generosity at the beginning of creation, that story that you know I love so much, when God's spirit, which can also be translated as breath, went out over the waters and began the process of creation. When God created us at the end of Genesis in God's own image, when God's love was brought forth in his only son, Christ Jesus, whom even death could not defeat. God's generosity in all of those instances and in between and beyond are part of who we are part of our DNA too. God demonstrates generosity as a creator and as a nourisher of the world and all that is in it. The earth is filled full by the fruit of what you've done, the psalmist exclaims. In 104, springs gush forth to provide drink for the animals, grass for the cattle, trees and mountains for shelter for birds and other wild animals, plants even, it says, for people to cultivate for food, wine and bread for our hearts, oil to make our faces shine. God's generosity is declared, and all of this is brought into being, and God then protecting and allowing it all to flourish. God creates as part of the world physical and spiritual conditions for our growth, but also at the same time, as we've talked so often, freedom for us to grow in that or to turn away. We always have space to choose God's ways or not. And obviously, we frequently choose not to follow God's ways, and we fall short of God's glories. We don't always care for all that God has given us so generously. We don't always practice the same generosity that has been modeled for us. And yet, God continually offers us new life. A new relationship. We're constantly renewed by that same breath that went out to begin creation. That same breath, spirit that was there the first day in the beginning is still present in us and through us, and that we share and breathe in and out every day. When you send your spirit or breath, it says, they are created and you renew the face of the ground. Psalm 104. Every breath we take when we read it this way connects us to each other and to God and gives us the opportunity for yet new life to be renewed in God through Christ. We live because we have God's breath, spirit, that has been breathed into us since the moment of our birth. And renewal happens both literally and symbolically through the amazing system that God has in nature that connects us to the trees and plants we rely on for our actual oxygen. So that through our breath, we are filled and connected to each other, to creation, and to God. We depend on stuff we cannot own or capture, like the bubbles, sometimes to things that we have never seen and never will see, that comes from outside of us only as a generous gift from God. We are so dependent, really, that we are very precarious in our living. It's a precarious thing to be alive. Scripture says, when you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Utterly dependent on God for life. Utterly dependent on God's creation for life. In the song, Great Are You God, by Casting Crowns, it has this refrain that is repeated over and over and over. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you. The psalmist has that same spirit as he says, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. There's a real differentiation in our psalm this morning in the picture that the psalmist gives us between God and us. We are not God. We are and always will remain creatures who are utterly and totally dependent on God's generosity for life, for breath, but also for mystery and beauty. But our response, according to the psalmist, should always be praise. We are to bless the Lord with our lives. And the word bless implies submission and humility. Blessing God is a humbling response to God's generosity. In addition to this life and breath that God provides, God also gives us that space and fashions conditions for us to flourish uniquely, each of us, in our own creation. The relationship between God the Creator and the created is simply incredible. And the faithful, us, should be joyful as we rest in our dependency on the one who ordered all this that Psalm 104 describes for us. How could we not trust God and celebrate God's generosity with our praise? The psalmist can't keep from singing, and neither should we. All generosity that we witness or experience comes only because and through God's generosity Sometimes we forget that. We will say, oh, he is so generous. She is so generous. What a generous person she is. But it's really God. It's really God who is so generous to give us not only breath, but new breath that renews and recreates in us over and over. And not just stuff that we need for food, but good things. And not just things that we can use as tools and to make life a little better, but stuff that's just there for delight and pleasure. We are being God's hands and feet in the world when we then reflect that back to the world and to others. We are expressing God's heart when we tell someone, you don't have to pay me back, you just go enjoy. When we give of our time and our talents and expect nothing in return. When we let others know that they're thought of and remembered, even when they aren't with us. God did not just give us life and breath, but continues to offer us life and breath and new life and new breath and abundant mystery and beauty so that we may play and delight and stand in awe of all that is, of hummingbirds and manatees, of puppies and butterflies, sequoia trees and moss and snow-capped mountains and great canyons and waterfalls and vivid colors, incredible smells, delicious foods, powerful music, all of it comes from the generosity of God's own heart. So how can we be anything but generous too? As we leave here today, let us contemplate and perhaps even tell each other, who might be blessed by my generosity? Who am I teaching to be generous in the spirit of the one who is so abundantly generous to me? Because like the bubbles in the bag, none of it is ours. None of it can be packed up and taken on with us. May God continue to bless us generously, and may we express that to each other out of God's generosity. Amen.